from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast. This is season number 2. It's episode number 23, and it's Let the 2023 Cubs Season Begin, Crawley. And in this segment, you're talking to former Brewers pitcher, current host and the pregame, postgame analyst on Brewers Live, host of Brewers Unfiltered podcast. This is Crawley with Tim Dillard.
Joining me now on the Fly the W podcast, I have former Milwaukee Brewers pitcher, the current host of the pre-post-game show on Brewers Live and host of the Brewers Unfiltered podcast, Tim Dillard. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm good. This is a Cubs podcast? You didn't tell me that.
That's the only way I could get you to come on, right?
Oh, unbelievable. I just thought, I didn't know. Fly the W? I just thought that was like a, I don't know. I didn't know what that was.
I was going to offer you some spotted cow and some cheese curds to come on, but I figured if I just didn't mention the name of the show, we would be all good. So, now if we take a look here, Tim, I was looking last at the numbers and the Cubs and Brewers played 19 times last season. And I was surprised that the Cubs actually took the series 10-9 last year. They obviously struggled after the big sell-off in 2021 where they were only 4-15 against Milwaukee. So, this has been, a fun rivalry for the past few years. It's been pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, you want every game in the big leagues or always anywhere to be evenly matched. That's what you want. Ideally, you want every team that, every game matters, every game's close. For the last few years, it has been that way. Even in years where maybe, the Brewers or Cubs are not as good, it's still a fun game, right? Like just even if you're not from Chicago or not from Milwaukee, even a player on the team that's from anywhere else, they get it. They understand the rivalry that's there. And either way, it's just good baseball. That's why you're supposed to have rivalries.
Right. And last year, you guys had a really good season, 86-76. You finished second, but you finished out of the wild card. I think one of the things that really shocked those of us not, tuned in, plugged into the Brewers was the trade of Josh Hader. How surprised were you when that happened? And what effect did you think that had on the team last season?
Josh Hader, probably the best reliever in all of baseball, especially with Edwin Diaz going down. It's almost like, this year it's going to be Josh Hader going into this whole thing. But that's the presence that he brings. He was a leader in that bullpen. And I think the Brewers management even came out and said that they didn't realize how big of an impact that was going to be. But see, you got to realize, too, that the Brewers don't have just oodles and gobs of money. They're not the Mets. They can't just start getting every player and keeping them for 10 years. And I think the thought process was, let's get as much for him now as we can, because if they waited till this year to get rid of Josh Hader or, to trade him or whatever, some teams may be like, we're not going to give you that much. And then you're stuck and you got to pay a guy, $18 million or whatever he's got to get paid. So then I think, I don't know. I mean, who's to say what's right or wrong? We don't know all the ins and outs, the guys that get paid all the money at the top levels, they're the ones that know the ins and outs. And they thought this was the best course of action. But I think everyone knows it did affect the team. It affected that clubhouse. But the reason they did it is because they had Devin Williams. Devin Williams is fantastic. He's just, if you're going to get rid of an elite closer, you have an elite closer right behind him.
Right. And obviously you're in Arizona, you're watching, keeping tabs of what the Brewers are doing out in the desert.
Sure.
Devin Williams, though, was in the World Baseball Classic for Team USA, and he looked really, really good out there. Did you have a chance to talk to him about his experience in the WBC?
I didn't. I'm sure there's you know, a gazillion articles and all that stuff. I don't really get too much in the weeds of it. When I see the guys, I just, you know, hang, you know, just talk to him a little bit. He's just a good guy. And for him to be able to have the tutelage under Josh Hader has just brought him to another level. And so being in those high leverage situations, it's not a surprise. He goes in the World Baseball Classic and some really big moments. And he's probably got the slowest heart rate in the entire building, which is what you want. It's what you want out of a closer, especially one that young.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was looking at the guys, the additions and subtractions that you guys have had. And you know, when you think about some of the guys that you lost, Brad Boxberger comes to the Cubs, which we're excited about, you know, having a, you know, vet, we have a really young bullpen. So having a veteran like Boxberger, and we've seen what he's done over there, but you know, Colton Wong is gone. Lorenzo Cain and Andrew McCutchen. Those are just two great guys. Also two Cub killers, obviously near the end of the career, but Hunter Renfroe is another guy that's gone, but you know, you've added some players too. Jesse Winker's a notorious Cubs killer from when he was with Cincinnati. And Wade Miley, he was with the Cubs last year, but he just could not stay healthy. But you know, from what you've seen in spring training, how excited are you about this club so far going into it?
I mean, very excited. I just last year, it's almost like the team was built around, let's see how many home runs we can hit. I think this year you're going to see a lot more speed come from the Brewers, a lot more, I don't want to say situational hitting because that sounds dated, but there's going to be more base hits. You know, with the shift being banned, I think that's going to help people like Christian Yelich, Rowdy Tellez. So I think there's going to be a lot more action, which means exciting ball games. And the Brewers are used to playing so many close games, but scoring more runs is going to help them probably more than a team like the Yankees that don't play as many one-run games. You know, so I think that's going to play a huge factor. I will say on that list that you popped up there on the screen, which is really cool. I don't even know how you did that, but down at the bottom, Hunter Renfroe and Jace Peterson. To me, those are big. Jace Peterson was the ultimate utility man, but he was above average in every aspect of the game. And of course, Hunter Renfroe, they just couldn't afford him. But that guy rakes, you know, and also has a cannon in the outfield. So I don't know. Those were the big ones that you're kind of like, they couldn't keep these guys, but they also have Mike Brasso, who's having one of the best springs of anybody in the Cactus League. And then you also can put Brian Anderson in right field, which he may be the opening day guy, the one that I played against him when he was in the minor leagues for the Marlins. He's a good player. He's got a great arm. So, I mean, they've done a very good job filling in for the roles that they lost, which in years past, it's you know, what are they really looking for? They're looking for power, you know. But I think the Brewers this year are looking at it. You know what? We can score runs. You don't want a full lineup of guys just trying to hit the long ball. You want a very balanced dynamic, and that's what they have this year.
Well, I got to tell you, the one thing that interests Cub fans is, you know, when we talk about the rivalry between the Cubs and the Brewers, probably the guy that really, really stoked that rivalry the last few years was Wilson Contreras. Wilson is now with the Cardinals, but you guys traded and got his brother, William Contreras. So you're going to face Wilson still, even though he's now with the Cubs. He's with the Cardinals. You guys are going to see him plenty. And obviously, you know, if you're looking at what all the prognosticators say, it's going to be Cardinals 1, Brewers 2 battling like it was last year. You know, do you feel like that intent, that dislike that Brewers fans, and it seemed like the players in a way had towards Wilson, do you think that keeps going with Will, with his brother William on the team?
I mean, even though they're brothers and they play the same position and they're both right-handed and they're not the same player, you know, I think that'd be unfair for William to, you know, start holding angst toward him or anything like that. I walked by him in the hallway today right before the game and just seeing the way he interacts with everybody, seeing the way he interacts with the clubhouse guys and going about his business. I don't know. He's just got a good personality, has a good outlook on the game. And what's interesting is I just left the field and I haven't checked the score lately, but he did hit 2 3-run homers, I believe, and both of them were the opposite field. So when you start looking at clutch, is this guy clutch? What can he do? He's an impact guy, because what wins ball games, right? Pitching, defense, and 3-run homers. So for a guy in those big moments to have those big the big at bats, that could be a preview of things to come this season.
Yeah, and we always knew that, you know, with Wilson, you know, he was more of an offensive catcher, but he struggled with framing, whereas William always seemed to be a little bit better in that department. Have you seen him handle the pitching staff, and how does that look so far?
It looks good. I think for whatever reason, one of the storylines is, you know, he's not that good behind the dish or something like that, which I don't know where that came from. He looks He looks good, and he's caught a wider range of pitchers. Lefties, guys throwing 95 all the way to righties throwing 95 mile an hour cutters or 98 mile an hour sinkers, and he's held his own. So I think he's a very skilled, above average catcher. But what the Brewers are notorious for taking any catcher and making them better behind the dish. So I think that's going to be something that we see throughout the year. He's just going to keep getting better. So the Brewers did a good job going out there and not only finding a bat at the catching position, but finding a guy that's not only good behind the dish, but going to continuously get better.
Now, one storyline that we were kind of looking at this year that we thought, you know, a lot of Cub fans thought was interesting was it seemed like, you know, that arbitration case with Corbin Burnes. Now, I mean, I know, you know, when you talk about, you know, small market teams versus large, you know, nobody has Steve Cohen money, but it seemed to me, and as a former player, you could probably speak to this, you know, why would you, over such a small dollar amount, why would you get into it with a guy that, you know, is really someone that you could potentially think about wanting to sign and keep as an ace? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I've had a lot of guys that, maybe not a lot that have gone through arbitration, but have gotten, you know, deep into the process. I do know several guys that actually have gone through it and won, and some that have lost. And it is just a bad process. I don't know who came up with the idea that, hey, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to get a guy that we love, and then we're just going to bash him while he bashes us. And we're going to do it in front of somebody that's unbiased, and then we'll just see where it lands. And then we're all going to kiss and make up afterwards. Right. It's just not going to work. You know, it's just a terrible, terrible process. So I get it. I get it if Burnes was upset, because I think the Brewers, it didn't matter who you are. You know, yes, it's Burnes, and he's obviously, you know, high profile and Cy Young and opening day starter, but it didn't matter who it is. Anybody that goes through that process is not going to feel the same coming out of it. And until they fix the process, this is what you're going to see, you know, whether you're that top guy that's elite all-star or down to the guy that's just, you know, at the bottom of the barrel. But as long as that process sticks, you're going to see headlines like that.
Now, the one guy that surprised me kind of hearing his story for you guys is Keston Hiura, and kind of, has there been any resolution to that? Is he going to the minors? Are they looking for a trade for him? What's the situation with Keston right now?
Yeah, well, I just heard today from Brewers beat writer Adam McAlvey. So they informed Keston that he's not going to make the team, and I think they've tried to work out trades in that regard. But at the same time, he goes through waivers, and then he can elect free agency, or they can still trade him, or he can accept a spot in AAA. And apparently this takes like 10 days, and we're only in day like one or two of it. But I think, you know, Keston made such a big splash in 2019. I mean, who goes to the big leagues in their first season? They're batting 300, almost 20 home runs, almost 60 RBIs. Like, that is a big splash. And then say, okay, we'll do that again, and then do that again, and then do that again. And he got so many chances but couldn't put it together. But the guy's a big leaguer. When he is finally unlocked, I don't know if it's going to be with the Brewers or whatever team, but when finally somebody can unlock him, he is going to just be a force to reckon with. And will he be in the big leagues again? Yes, absolutely he will. Who, what team? I have no idea.
I remember watching him, and he was, like you said, it was 2019, and I was at Miller Park at the time. You guys still call it Miller Park? The most people call it Miller and
Well, I mean, if you want to put money in the swear jar, then I guess. Yeah, if you're all the fans, they call it. Yeah. But when we're on air, it's American Family Field. So,
oh, yeah. Yes. They pay the bills, right? So when I was sitting there, I can't remember what the game was. It was a very infamous for Cubs because they took someone took a video of, it was Jed and Theo in a box somewhere in Milwaukee with their hands like this. And Keston Hiura made a come from behind home run that apps, and I'm at the game, and I'm just crushing. I'm like, this guy is just unbelievable. And like you said, maybe a change of scenery, something like that'll change it for him. I don't know, but surprising. You know what I mean?
Well, it's just a very interesting case. And I think the Brewers know this. They're like, they want to keep him because they know, and listen, baseball is hard. And when pitchers figure out how to pitch you, it gets even harder, you know, for hitters. I was a pitcher, and if I made the same mistake to the same hitter back to back at bats, that's on me, you know, because you can know a lot from a hitter. So I think he got figured out in a way, and he's tried to make adjustments. But I think the Brewers know that when he does make the right adjustment and everything clicks, that he's going to be a valuable asset. I don't know if making this move at the end of spring is going to help Keston. I think maybe his contract's for like $2 million or something like that if he's in the big leagues. So I don't know if that's going to, you know, play against him at all, because at the end of spring, right, everybody's filled. Everybody has 30 guys that could make the team, and they have to start, you know, whittling it down. So it's happened to me before. You know, you get sent down in big league camp, and, or you get outrighted or whatever it is. You got taken off the roster, and then suddenly you're like, well, no one's calling. It's like, because everybody has everyone right now. You know, there's nobody really looking. So that kind of puts Keston in a tough situation. But I think at the same time, maybe the Brewers' idea is, hey, maybe we have a chance to keep him in AAA. And if he figures it out, then boom, he's right back up there.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm guessing some teams are going to want to take a flyer on him. As you talked about, we know the opening day starters for sure. It's going to be Marcus Stroman versus Corbin Burns. This is the first time that Stroman's starting for the Cubs in opening day. I remember Corbin started last year for the Brewers, and surprisingly, the Cubs did well in that first start. But then after that, Corbin Burns became Corbin Burns, and
sure,
unbelievable. But would you say that, how do you guys think you're lining up as far as rotation?
I think it's good. You got Corbin Burns, you got Brandon Woodruff, Freddy Peralta, Eric Lauer, Wade Miley, and in the wings, injured right now, not sure his status, but Adrian Hauser is, for me, if you know, bullpen or as a starter, with the shift being banned, I think it's going to really play well for him. He's a ground ball guy that could be a lot of double plays. You got Aaron Ashby's on the shelf, but he could be, you know, coming back in the next month or two. So there is depth there. But I would say number one, we know a lot of expectations for Burns and Woodruff, but Freddy Peralta has been the talk of camp from day one. Anytime a player is asked, hey, who have you seen that's really stuck out this year? And the answer for everybody has been Freddy Peralta. Whatever he's doing in his bullpens, or what they see behind the scenes, he is doing something special. And that's what I've learned. If you want to know what's going on, you know, with a player, ask the teammates. And so they know something. There's a buzz there. So really look for Freddy Peralta to have a bounce back season.
Now, so it would probably, would you say then, so Burns and Stroman on Thursday, would you say Woodruff would start for you guys on Saturday for the second game?
I guess. You say us, like I got the lineup card, the blank lineup card in front of me. Here, let me see. And then this guy here, this guy, yeah. I think it's shaping up that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that would be then Woodruff versus, we're thinking Justin Steele. Young lefty who had a really, really good season last year. So,
yeah, I've been watching him a lot on the TV and kind of, you know, hearing the commentators talk about the adjustments he's made and what Rossi thinks of him. And, man, he's just good. He's like the typical lefty that's just hard to hit. Just hard to hit. Like, you can't just classify him as, oh, he's this lefty that does. No, he attacks you. He knows what he's doing. And Brewers have had notorious problems with left-handed starters. So, hopefully with some of the new pieces that have been added, the Brewers can counteract that, because Justin Steele's, he's legit.
Right. And then, so it'll probably then look like Freddy Peralta, like you said, having a great spring.
Yep.
And then the Cubs acquired Jameson Taillon from the Yankees, you know, or off free agency. So, you know, I think the Cubs team is one that, you know, we looked at the additions and subtractions in Milwaukee. With the Cubs, you're talking about adding Dansby Swanson, getting Trey Mancini out there, hoping for a bounce-back season from Cody Bellinger. So, you know, I'm hoping that the Cubs can surprise some people. You know, like I said, when I look at the – and I know, Tim, as a former player, you're going to roll your eyes at Pecota projections or all that stuff, or just what the analysis have to say. But I think the Cubs are going to look better than what a lot of people think, you know?
Yeah, I think it's some of the pieces that they have, they're good. And I mean, Dansby is going to do what, you know, he's been doing, probably excel even more just being at Wrigley and then some of the other places that he's going to play. I was former teammates with Patrick Wisdom. I love that guy. He's just an amazing, no nonsense, make a mistake, I'll punish it in the street kind of guy. You know, whether he's playing third or playing outfield, right field. But I'm really interested in Trey Mancini. I mean, just he's a proven player. And Wrigley's tough to conquer early on. So it's really fun to see like how that's going to play. And then is it Madrigal? They're going to be the opening day third baseman.
Well, that's what they're thinking. They're looking at a couple different things, and they're looking at using three guys. They picked up Edwin Rios from the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And then so Patrick Wisdom will go against lefties, and then they would have Rios go against righties. And then with Madrigal, what they're thinking is if you got a guy that has good swing and miss stuff, say a Corbin Burns, the guy that doesn't, you know, then you'd probably try to get some guy with contact, and that's where Madrigal would come in.
Okay. I really like Madrigal over there. Like, I think if they were to put him at third and just let him play all season long, I think they would probably get something very special in return. So maybe I kind of hope they don't do that. but you can just tell as a player, you watch a guy and you're like, man, he's working really hard at third base to conquer it. He's made some outstanding plays. He's learned a lot this spring. Like I said, all I do is watch games on TV. And to me, that would be the easy case. But I know that, you know, let's play matchups and all that. And it would be tough if you're Madrigal going, oh, I get to face the Cy Youngs in the rotation every time. Yeah, gee, thanks. I think he's done too well, and I think he's at a good spot that it would be a disservice if he's not in there every day. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm just some bearded wash-up, you know, watching on TV.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you, Tim. Tim, you know, the Brewers joined the NL Central in 98, but the first time I remember you guys getting on our nerves was that 2008 season. And you were on that team. And then that was, you got CeCe Sabathia, we got Rich Harden, and you guys were able to get into the playoffs, I think, on the last day of the season on a Sunday against the Cubs. And, you know, you were the young guy, but Craig Counsell was on that team, and he was the old veteran, right? Did you know back then that he was going to be such a good manager? Because people kind of give me a hard time, but in my opinion, in the NL Central, I mean, I think David Ross is a really good manager. I still think, you know, he's, you know, learning, but I think that Craig Counsell is really overlooked sometimes as far as what he does as a manager.
I think so too. And yes, you know, being his teammate for several years, he just had that way about him. He didn't put up with anything. You know, if somebody was doing something out of line, and I got several stories that, you know, just witnessing and not being mean, but, you know, going to somebody and be like, hey, you're not going to take batting practice. And there'll be a young kid like, oh, batting practice is optional. And counsel's like, not for you. You know, like, you're trying to get your feet wet and you're going to just take the option on batting practice. Like, just stuff like that. Like, he could always see the big picture. And he'd been in so many big games, World Series. And so, yeah, I think I could always see him being a manager. A personal note for me, I got traded, or I got switched sidearm from over the top to sidearm in 2010. And I just asked him in the outfield one day in spring training, just kind of went out to him. We were shagging in left field. And I said, what would you how would you bat against a guy, a righty throwing sidearm? Because it's a different look. It's a different thing. I have to figure out, how do I pitch a lefty, especially a proven lefty, on a guy that has, for my opinion, has seen every kind of pitcher there can be, lefty and righty. So that was my go-to, and he gave me a lot of good pointers. So even when he was still a player, he was coaching. So it was just a matter of time. But I think it's a disservice that, you know, you have the universal DH, because there was so much in the National League on all the things you could do as far as substituting and bunting and situational hitting, that Craig Counsell has just that part of his brain works, and the way he can get the most out of everybody during a game, that now that every, you know, the DH is everywhere. It's kind of like, I don't know. You've seen the movie Little Big League. They have a kid that's managing in the big leagues, right? They have the DH. How hard could it be?
Well, just a little fact for you. The mother in that movie, Little Big League.
Yeah, I did know this.
Yeah, that's our top prospect's mom. She's an actor. That's Pete Crow Armstrong's mom that was in Little Big League. So, you know, hey, it all comes around. But, Tim, I really appreciate you jumping on and giving us your perspective on the Brewers. Sure. You know, the I-94 rivalry is always a fun one. And I'll make a few trips up to AmFam, a.k.a. Miller Park. And hopefully you'll be able to maybe, you know, stop by Wrigley and come check out what we got going on. And hopefully we have a good season for both teams.
Yeah, I don't know if I can make it to Wrigley. I think I'm going to be doing the pre and post from our studio in Milwaukee for all of those games. But if you're at AmFam, let me know, because, you know, once I'm done with the pregame show, all I do is just kind of hang out. So maybe we can share a pretzel. Never know.
Sounds good, Tim. I appreciate it. And you take care and have a good season.
Yep. Thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.